Shalom everyone, and we are in Parashat Bechukotai, which is the last parasha of the book of Vayikra, Leviticus. Last parasha means that that's concentrating all the book. This is like the manifestation. So what's in this parasha, which is a very extremely enigmatic. If you read it simply, like just from the simple reading, we have many problems over here. Why? Because this is called also the curses of Torat Kohanim, the curses of the book of Leviticus. Because it starts with, and we are in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3, Im bechukotai telechu. If you walk in my laws, but it says laws, if you walk in my laws, ve'et mitzvotai tishmeu, and you observe my mitzvot, la'asot, to do, then it says, and I will give your rain in its time, and the earth will give its, and the land will give you the crops, and the tree of the field will give his fruit. And then it's like there's a very nice, blissful description. No enemies. If there will be enemies, you chase them, they'll run away just from your shadow. And then I'll turn my face to you, and you will multiply, and I'll establish my covenant. Just read the text, beautiful. Okay, Natati Mishkeni, that's verse 11. Venatati Mishkeni betorachem, I'll give my dwelling in you, within you. Okay, and Vatem Tiyurilam, you will be my nation. Ani Hashem Elokechem. Okay, but that's all of these nice words till verse 13. 10 verses. Then verse 14, Ve'im lo tishmeu li, but if you don't listen to me, ve'lo tasu et kol ha-mitzvot ele, you do not do these mitzvot. Ve'im bechukotai timasu, ve'et mishpatai tigal nafshi, and if you will fed up of my laws, and mishpatai tigal nafshichem, which is another word that it's not the first time, it looks like it's repetitious, but it's not. Leviti asot, and you won't do all the mitzvot, and you will break the covenant. Afani esazot lachem, I'll do this to you too. Vifkaditi alechem behala, and I'll put on you behala, scare. But it's more behala, it's more to get startled, okay? Shock. Et ha-shachefet, et ha-kadachat, mechalot einayim, medivot nafesh. I said it many times. Israel is usually, when they curse in Arabic, they curse in Russian, they curse in English, they usually don't curse in Hebrew. It's like too much. Okay? But if you want really to know how to curse, you have it here. Okay? But Israelis are not using that. It's too upsetting. It's like, you know, in other languages, it's not that bad. It can even sound cute, like you're cool, because nobody really understands it. Okay? So you can hear like Israelis cursing horrible stuff in Russian and Arabic, and they have no idea what they're saying. But I prefer to do that. Venatati fanai bachem, and I'll give my face to you. We already heard that. But here it's going to be, and you're going to be defeated by your enemies. And it goes like this for many verses of all kinds of curses and curses and curses and curses and like very, very detailed descriptions of curses and terrible stuff that can happen if we are not going to go by the laws. And then it says, oh, you're going to go to exile. And you're going to go to the land of your enemies, and you're going to live in other lands, and you will know these are your enemies you're living amongst. Okay? And then, verse 42, Vezacharti briti Yaakov, and I'll remember my covenant, Jacob. And afet briti Yitzchak, and also my covenant with Isaac. Afet briti Avraham is go, and I'll remember my covenant with Abraham. And So when the land is going to be laid in total sabbatical, and the inhabitants are going to be in, they're going to pay, you know, what do you say, served as sentences in the enemy's land. It's like, you know, when you're in the enemy's land, it's like you're paying dearly. It's like serving a sentence. Even though they're going to be in the land of their enemies, I will never despise them and I will never allow them to be perished. Because I'm not breaking the covenant. That's verse 44. I'll remember the covenant of the first ones, that I got them out of the land of Egypt. Ela chukim ha-mishpatim. These are the laws and mishpatim. What's the difference between laws and mishpatim, chukim and mishpatim? We'll see it. It's in the beginning. And basically, this is the most of the parasha, the most important part of the parasha. There's some other stuff, but and when we finish the parasha, we finish basically ela mitzvot. These are the mitzvot, precepts, asher tziva Hashem et Moshe, Bnei Yisrael Bar Sinai. And in this parasha, we have 78 verses. Why 78? And why again? We spoke about it last week. Last week in Parashat Behar, we had 57 verses. And we said that 57 is a number in Gematria, in Jewish numerology. The numbers symbolize nourishment and sustenance. Like, because in the Birkat HaMazon, the grace after the meal, the first blessing ends, Baruch Ata Hashem Hazan Et Hakol. The one who nourishes, what's the word? Zan. Nourishment. Okay? There's also, it says by Rabbi Azakloria, that before you make the blessing on the bread, when before you're starting the meal, you should say, sounds, you know, the Hashem Roi Lo Echsar, the Lord is my shepherd, which has 57 words in Hebrew, not in English. Don't even try to count. In Hebrew, it has 57 words. Why? Because what is this psalm about? The Lord is my shepherd, I will never feel a lack. Even if I go in the valley of the shadow of death, I will never be afraid, because the Lord is with me. So we know that the secret, as we learned last week in Parashat Behar, is faith. The secret of real sustenance, to open whatever is blocked. Because what's blocking the system from the flow is lack of trust, lack of faith, lack of connection. Here, it's being more emphasized in Parashat Bechukotai. Even the name of the Parashat is Bechukotai, in my laws. What is the significance of the word, of the number 78? I spoke about it a few times. It has many names, few names in Kabbalistic terms. One of the well-known songs of Shabbat is Nishmat Kol Chai. Nishmat Kol Chai, Tevarech Et Shimcha Hashem Elokeinu. It's like the soul of every living thing is blessing you, God. It's being said in the morning prayer of Shabbat after the Song of the Red Sea. Only on Shabbat, the Song of the Red Sea is being read every morning, but that song, Nishmat Kol Chai, only on Shabbat morning and holidays. When you read that, if you notice in Kabbalistic prayer books, there's emphasis on the initials of Nishmat Kol Chai. Nishmat is Nun, Kol is Kaf, Chai is Chet. Nun is 50, right? Kaf is 20, Chet is 8, 78. And it says in Proverbs, King Solomon says, Einecha lenochach yabitu. Okay? Simple translation to English. Your eyes should look forward. Says the Zohar, so where you should look at? To the sides? What is that that King Solomon, the wisest man on earth, ever said? What do we get of it? says, no, when you're looking, you should meditate on a very powerful meditation, which is the name of God, the Tetragrammaton, three times, right, left, and center. If the Tetragrammaton has how many letters? Four. Tetra is four, right? So three times, it's 12. So it's called the name of 12 letters. So when you meditate on that name, of three, like three times the Tetragrammaton, right, left, and center, and there's also meditation on the right to meditate on it in white color, to the left on red or gold, and to the center on green, then you connect with that to what is called Mazala. Mazala is the highest level in the Sfirat Keter, whoever knows the Sfirot, which is the source of all what life is about. Which means, this is where all the movies are coming from. All the texts of creation, which means you want that God will provide you with a script that is cleaner, more open, that is full of light. This is the place to connect to. It's called Mazala, numerical value, Mazala 78. How do you connect to that? Here we go to the parasha. Again, Im bechukotai telechu bet mitzvotai, if you walk in my laws, chok is a law, bet mitzvotai tishmu, and you observe my mitzvot, la'asotam, to do them. Rashi, the great commentator, who was like, he was like a walking computer. He simply knew by heart all the texts from, he lived in France, 11th century. All the texts were written before, like the Torah, the prophets, the writings, and then the Mishnah and the Midrashim, everything that was written in during the 2,000 years before his time and before, he just knew everything by us. So what he doesn't bring anything of his own. He brings, he's just putting it together. And what does he say? He brings that, there's a question somewhere in Safa that says, like this, Im bechukotai telechu, and so it's like, if you walk in my laws and you observe my mitzvot, my precept, and he says, it's like, what's the difference between laws and mitzvot? Right? You know, simplistically in English, when you translate it, it's mitzvot are laws, right? Yeah. These are the law. You should do it. These are the laws. Commandments. Commandments and laws is the same. Rashi is saying, like, isn't that repetitious? Why do we have to repeat? And Rashi says, because they're not the same. Each one of them is something totally else. And therefore, the Torah gives us the stages. The stages of what? First of all, Im bechukotai telechu. And he says, the whole thing about the laws, what does it mean, bechukotai telechu? You walk in my laws, or even chukot, it's like more than laws, it's like a constitution, like a decree. But here, remember, it's not the word in English or in Hebrew. Decree is usually when you have a vicious ruler and he decrees stuff to oppress his subjects. Applying the word decrees, the word doesn't appear over here, but applying the word decrees to the Creator is terribly dangerous. And I'll say again. A lot of people have a problem with God. Why? Says Rabbi Ashlag, because what do they know about God? They learned about him from family, from teachers maybe in the kindergarten, if they grew up in a religious environment. Okay? Maybe teachers in school. And what they heard about God is what those people have as a vision of God. And Rabbi Ashlag is asking, what is the how professional are they about explaining who is God to the kids? What's their training? And if you look, he says, about how humanity looks like, poor training. And he gives this story about this guy in a kingdom, in a very, very like powerful kingdom. He was caught spitting on a picture of the king. Therefore, he was taken to court. And of course, still there are some countries in this world that if you abuse the honor of the king, you can be death sentenced. Mm-hmm. Okay? In old times, not long ago, that was very common. Right? I'm talking about like 19th century, early 20th century. There were still kingdoms that the kings were that powerful. So when it looks like that court is going to decree death sentence on that person, his lawyer shows them the picture. And it's a picture of a person nobody knows. Of course. No sentence, no case. Why? He didn't spit in the picture of the king. He spat in the picture of somebody nobody knows. Okay. Says Rav Ashlag, same thing. A lot of people, they hate the image of God that their teachers and maybe parents and relatives and friends gave them. And Rav Ashlag says, you know what? I would spit on that picture also. Because if you think that there is a God sitting up there in heaven and he's vengeful and vindictive and he's just looking to catch you, and the moment he's catching you, making a mistake, he will smite you. If this is the God you believe in, I spit in him, says Rav Ashlag. I spit in this image because there's no God like this. Of course not. Of course they hate religion. Of course they hate God. Mm-hmm. And as we said, because, you know, fearful people are very easily oppressed, abused, and robbed. Can you imagine a religion that tells you, you give everything you've got and the merchandise is going to be delivered to your cell in the Garden of Eden? What a genius idea. You don't have to deliver anything. And who's going to come back from the grave saying in the, you know, in his house of worship, I didn't get anything delivered to my room in heaven. I didn't even get to heaven. I was told to come back because I didn't get it. Scary. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Isaac, as we learn, that you have to study Kabbalah, otherwise you have no idea, you have complaints, because you really think that God is punishing. And he's not. So what's the story about? What are these curses that in most synagogues they read it kind of low voice, because God speaks like this, that's terrible. I'm ashamed that my God speaks this way. Should be like, you know, everything is okay. We love everybody the way they are. No, we're not. What do you mean you're not? Maybe we are, but that's not going to help anyone. You know, if I love somebody so much, you know what? He's such a nice person. Everybody loves him. And he goes and he puts his finger in the socket. That's not going to help. He's going to be electrocuted. Right? What does that have to do with the fact that he's not supposed to be stupid? So when we speak about Bechukotai and Gzerot, which means laws and decrees in the language of the Zohar, we spoke about it last week, about one thing. There are laws that you cannot change. Gravity is one of them. Can you argue with the Creator about, you know, maybe you're going to abolish gravity because it bothers me? Then we're all going to fly and get lost in outer space, right? Including the atmosphere of this planet and the water and fly away with this planet forever, right? Gravity is part of what it is, okay? That's a law and that's a decree. So what are we talking about? The whole thing is about understanding there are certain laws that you have to understand, and being nice to everyone is not going to change the laws. What is this law? Here Rashi is bringing us the explanation. And he says, first of all, what is bechukotai telech? What does it mean to walk in my laws and decrees? Shetiyu amelim batoa. You have to work hard with the Torah. Why do you have to work hard with that? I have enough hard work making a living. Yes. But that's not your job. Making a living is a side job. Your real job is to work hard with the Torah. What? We're not that religious. Get out of it. It's like you have life and the Torah and religion and spirituality. Something you do by, you know, in your spare time. You have a big mistake. If you want to understand why things don't go your way, here it is. So we go back to Rabbi Ashlag. And what is Rabbi Ashlag is teaching us? What is the Zohar teaching us? What is Kabbalah teaching us? Something that we have to repeat again and again and again. We spoke about it last week, you know, Behar and Chukotah usually are being read together. When it's a leap year, they're being read separately. Okay? So what did we read in Parashat Behar? And there was the Zohar brought us again. Behar means in the mount, like it should be in Mount Sinai. Why cutting the word? Because Behar is gematria, or light. 207. And when you study Kabbalah, you learn that setting goals is the most important thing in life. And why do you have to set goals? Because when you learn business and you learn anything, if you don't set goals, if you don't know where you're going to, what are the chances you're going to get there? Not too much. So what is the goal? So in business school, you learn the goal is the bottom line is making money. All the rest is nonsense. You have to make money. And you know what? It doesn't work. A lot of people make money. We live in an economy that most people are into making money. And we've never been such a miserable society ever in history. Lonely, miserable. The number of antidepressant medications being prescribed every day in the modern fat world, this is enormous. People are in pain. Why are they in pain? Because they're setting the wrong goals. Now let's go back to it. Why it's painful? The Zohar is asking why it is painful. So Rabbi Ashlag is explaining. There is a sentence that says, Reshaim b'chayehem nikraim etim. What is Rasha? Simplistically, evil. A lot of people nobody thinks they're evil, but they are Rasha. Because evil, somebody's always planning to hurt somebody else. I'm not talking about somebody else. Rasha is initials of Ratzon Shel Atzmo, desire to receive for the self alone. What's wrong with that? The goal is light. Everything we want in life is the light, where it says, and God said, let there be light. And then it says, and God saw the light was good. We're learning from that, says the Zohar, that every good we can experience is coming from God's light. However, there is another law. It's a cosmic law. It's a law of affinity. Similarities attract. If you want the light of God, you have to get His image. We were created in His image, as it says in Genesis chapter 1. However, we had a problem. We wanted to create. We wanted to share. When everything is perfect, there's nothing you can create. So this world was created. When we come as a soul to the body, it says, Yetzer lev Adam ra min urav. Genesis, in the beginning, the inclination of the human heart is evil. Ra, ratzon atzmi. Selfish, since our youth. It didn't say the soul, the heart. You come with a soul, then you get the heart, and then the heart, you have what? I want, you know. Did you ever see a baby? They don't think about anyone else, just me. For a lot of people, it goes on till 50, 60, 70, till the end. But you want to be happy. I say again, I never met happy, selfish people. We, as human beings, we came to this world, and we called Adam. The whole of humanity is called Adam because we come from Adam. Okay? And Adam comes from the word Adame, La Elyon. My I am here in order to resemble the divine. This is our purpose. How do I resemble to the divine? I have to transform my desire to receive for the self alone into the desire to receive for the sake of sharing. Why? You want to connect to the light? It's the only way. So how do you do that? It's working on our own traits. To learn to be humble. To be learn to really love each other. Unconditionally. Why? You know, they don't deserve it. I don't do that for them. I want to resemble the divine. This is my calling. This is the book of Vayikra. This is the book of the calling. This is a summary. Our calling is to resemble the divine. And the secret is, if we understand that the light of the Creator is endless, which means I can never, ever, ever change the light. Which means, what is the light about? Sharing and loving me. And you, and you, and you, every human being. Every creature, everything. Can we change that? Never, ever. Why? Otherwise, it's not the endless light. It is finite. Something that changes, that's finite. That's limited. Because what it was came to an end, and something else came in. That's oxymoron. Change and endless, they don't go together. The endless doesn't need to change. And therefore, it does not change because no one has the power to change it if it's endless light. So to think that the Creator hates me, like some people think so, or some people are brought to believe by people that say they love them and maybe guide them or lead them, that God hates you behaving like this. God never hates anyone. The Creator of this universe cannot hate because hate is a lack of love. And He is the love. And there's nothing but love and nothing but light. So when we personify the endless light by we put on the light our own shortcomings. This is the greatest mistake. So, it's like, as I say, when you put your finger in a socket, whoever did it, it feels like somebody really angry there in the socket. I once did it. Right? Oh, the electric company is really upset about me. No, it's not. The electric company wants you to live and consume and pay your bills forever. They don't have anything against you. So why do you feel the anger? Because you did something you're not supposed to do. You feel that because this is like you're not supposed. Because electricity is not supposed to act through your physical body. That special devices it should work through. Not your body. And that's a decree and that's a law and cannot be changed. And even if you pray and you beg, it's not going to be changed. This is how the universe is structured. That's im bechukotai telechu. You want to be happy. You want to feel rich. Feeling rich is ezeu ashir asamech bechelko. Who's the rich? The one who's happy with what he's got. Does that mean that we're supposed to have little and to be happy about it? No. If I'm happy with what I've got, I have an appetite to get some more. And most of the people that don't try to do business because they tried a few times, they failed, they're afraid to try more. Right? Who are the winners? The winners are the ones who failed once, twice, three times, and they get up and they still have hope. they don't give up. They don't give up. Failure is not an option. And as long as you're trying, you didn't fail. You're just working on it. And that's why it says, Sheva Ipol Tzadik Vekam. Proverbs. It's a righteous person is the one who falls seven times and get up. Because he's connected to the light. He knows that failure is not an option. The failure is because I didn't try enough. I didn't work on it enough. I didn't get resemble to the divine enough, and I need to make some more work. Now you understand what's the word amal? Amal means hard work. What's hard work? To carry a heavy weight from one place to another? That's not hard work. What's hard work? To run a company with a lot of angry people that always complain? No, that's not hard work. That's poison. What's hard work? Hard work, the hardest work, is to change our own selfish nature into altruistic, loving, unconditionally kind. Wow. This is the hard work. Why? Because when and that's why we have the mitzvot, and that's why there's a difference between bechukotai. These are the laws. It's called the laws of attraction. And the mitzvot, these are the tools how you change your own nature. How can I change my selfish nature into altruistic? Says Rav Ashlag. When we follow the mitzvot, why I'm calling it mitzvot and not good deeds? Because not every good deed is a mitzvah, says Rav Ashlag. And he bases it on many, many places. And the Zohar will explain it to us. When is this a mitzvah? So, let the Zohar explain. And when is it a good deed? So, in the Zohar, Parashat Bechukotai, Perush HaSulam, the Perush of the commentary of Rabbi Ashlag, verse 16. Im Bechukotai Telechu, what is Bechukotai, my laws? זה מקום שגזירות התורה תלויות באותו מקום. This is the place that the decrees of the Torah are coming from. What I mean decrees of the Torah? As I said, gravity. The fact that you put your finger in the socket, it doesn't matter if you're righteous or not, that's going to hurt. Okay? There are many, many things. You're not supposed to eat certain food because that's not good for you. Right? This is how the universe is structured. And you better understand sooner or later how it's structured. Okay? And what does it mean? That selfish, evil people, they're not selfish and evil. They're simply not doing the job. They're simply allowing the body consciousness to take over the soul consciousness. They simply go in the wrong environment with people that believe a false belief. They have a false belief system that being selfish is very rewarding. It is not. Being selfish is sick. Why? As I said, you can't be happily selfish. Impossible. And I said the examples. Every time you try to connect to the light of God, and you can drink some alcohol, gives you a lot of light. What's the problem? It comes in, and then, tzimtzum! That's the morning after. And drugs and so on. And the problem is, it becomes worse all the time. Same thing with food. Same thing with falling in love as an addiction. Why it's called falling in love, not getting exalted in love? Because this kind of love is stupid. It's you love yourself and you think somebody else is going to give you the high. And you're so excited about. And you don't understand that love is hard work. Because to love someone is to learn to work with that person as a team, no matter what. And really coaching each other to get closer to the light, because tovim ashnayim min ha'echad, two are much better than one. Because when one is falling, the other one pulls him up. But if you fall in love because you think that person is going to give me so much pleasure, the moment they fall, you're upset about him. This is not love. This is an addiction. This is need. This is selfish expectation that someone will always be there for you and provide to you. And you're not supposed to reciprocate. This is not love. This is called being a leech. And King Solomon says about it, La luka shtei banot, hav hav. The leech has two daughters, hav hav. What's hav hav? It's a game of words. Hav means give me, give me. Hav hav means also the sound the dog is making. And that's why they say in the Talmud, Tractate Sanhedrin, how do we know we're in the Messianic age? You see a generation like a dog. Give me, give me, give me. And what about you giving? I'm not supposed to give. I'm here to take. I'm here to take. And we see more and more people are just takers. You know what's the problem with all so many takers? There's nothing to take anymore after a while. And then the bubble collapses. Okay. What's wrong with that? These are the rules. You want to be happy. You want to see that the energy of this universe flows through your body, soul, heart, business, whatever. You need to resemble the divine. These are the laws. There is a law of the laws of cause and effect. When you inflict pain and misery on the universe, it comes back to you. When you transform yourself into loving and caring unconditionally, and then you resemble the divine, you attach, you adhere to the light, and it comes with the territory. When you're close to the light, the wisdom comes in, fortune comes in, good fortune comes in, health comes in, happiness comes in, fulfillment comes in, harmony comes in, everything you're looking for. This is not easy, because that's the hardest job in the world, to turn yourself around. Basically, to turn our body consciousness into a sharing mode unconditionally and be happy and excited about it. What if people are using you? That's their problem. I'm doing it for me. I'm doing it for me. So says the Zohar, when you observe my laws, what is a law? Malchut is a law. What is Malchut? Malchut is this world. That's how this world is wired. That's how it's structured. Okay? You want to raise that up? A scientist will tell you, or a student of physics will tell you, how much energy and calories you need to invest in order to raise that from here to here. It's clear. There are formulas. These are the laws. You can't cheat the universe. Okay? So, when you do that, when you adhere to the laws and you observe them, then you connect, then it says, et mishpatai tishmeru. What are mishpatim? Mishpatim are not laws. Although in Hebrew it sounds like mishpatim is the word you use for the laws of court. No. We said in Parashat Mishpatim, mishpatim, mishpat is something else. Chok is malchut. This is how it works. What is mishpat? Mishpat is another place. This is Ze'er Anpin. What is Ze'er Anpin? The spiritual realm. That's what the Torah is saying. When you go to court, the people in court should be healers. Because their job is to help the victims, the people who made the mistakes and hurt themselves. We call them criminals or victims of the criminals. It's nothing by mistake. The job of what people call by mistake a judge, but in Hebrew it's called shofet. Shofet, says Azor, is someone who's supposed to heal. The meaning of the word mishpat is to balance. Moznei mishpat. The balance. we are supposed to, court needs to, is a place to heal. You know why people think it's weird? They say somebody steals, you know, person A steals from person B. Okay, finally, person B complains to the police. The police will catch the thief and then set charges in court. And then what we happen, we see that too many times, all what court is about is like taking a revenge from the criminal and lock him in. What about healing the criminal? Because why did he hurt somebody else? Why did he think in the first place that hurting someone else is going to make him feel better? And another question is, the person that was hurt, the victim, court doesn't care about healing the victim. More than that, court so many times blatantly, with such lots of sensitivity, is getting the victim through hell in court. So many times the victims don't want to press charges because they don't want to go through hell. They don't feel that there's going to be a healing procedure. You understand how sick is our society? So that's what the Torah is saying. Shofet, Mishpat, is about its spirituality. It's about the healing. How do you get the two, the criminal and his victim, to come to a place in which they balance again their karma? That's the job of the judge. And that's why in Hebrew you don't call him a judge, Dayan. You call him Shofet. Somebody who balances between what happened and what's supposed to happen. So if the two come out happy and wiser, with more understanding of the laws of this universe and how to get what you want, it means that the court did the job. Some judges are healers. Too few. Many judges, if they don't come with a lot of faith and are not answering to a higher authority, that can be really deadly, because some judges will feel like God. They can, one word, they can kill, destroy somebody's life forever. They can, it's like, this is, you have to understand, power corrupts. And if the judge is not learning to be a healer, if the judge does not learn how to be a healer, that can be so dramatically terrible. You know, in most places, I have a Rabbi Peretz who said, and I enlarge what he said, there's no hell anymore. There's no hell anymore. Where do you find hell? In hospitals. When you find some doctors who think they are God, having too much power in their hands, in courts, in police stations, where people have too much power. You have man-made hell, replacement for that hell that is, you know, described in some places. So, let's go back to it. כל המצוות שבתורה וכל הגזרות שבתורה וכל הקדושות שבתורה חוזים באלו בזמפי ומלכות. All what the Torah is talking about is about connecting between Zeanpin and Malchut. Between the place of healing, the spiritual realm, and how to balance it with life's needs. And you know, when you have a community of people, and people are spiritual, and they are enlightened, they have different ways to solve problems. Why? Because they are resembling the divine, and they're attached to a wisdom that always gets them to solving problems from a certain way that is called win-win, tree of life. But when it's a community that it's not spiritual, so when you hurt someone, you hurt, the other person is hurt, and you are hurt because you are disconnected from the light. And then more hurt creates more hurt and more negativity, and negativity brings stupidity, And stupidity brings pain, and pain brings even more shock and trauma, and then brings more stupidity, because when people are traumatized, they can't really figure out a real healing solution. They are motivated by pain, and pain leads you to more pain as long as you are motivated by pain. So, that's therefore, he says, all of these, the moment you're connected to the mitzvot, says Rav Ashlag, what do you do the mitzvot for? You do the mitzvot to connect to the light, because the light is the healer. We are in the month of Iyar. Iyar is Or, light, and its initial, Ani Hashem Rofecha, I am God, your healer. Only the light is the healer. How do you let the light in? When you do the mitzvot. And he says, for example, Vasitem otam. We already said, and you do them. And he says, we already said, Telchu, you will walk in them. Vetishmeu, you will observe them. Lamot Vasitem, what do you need the word Vasitem, and you do them? It looks like, it's trivial, it's you don't need to add that. Umeshiv, and he answered, Ela misho se mitzvot ha-Torah volech bidrachav. Whoever is doing the mitzvot and walks on his ways, Hukilu asar lemala, he like he did God above. What? ועשיתם אותם כתוב ודאי, כי מתוך שמתורם ידכם להתחבר זה בזה שימצא השם הקדוש כראוי, ודאי ועשיתם אותם. So, to complete what we just said, says, when you help okay, verse 23. Boy, come and see. Lama ani chashuv kemet. It says, ani chashuv kemet. A poor person is like a dead person. Why? A, he feels like he's not happy. He's fearful. He's in trauma. He can't enjoy life. Like, he's better dead. And nobody cares about him. If he dies or not, nobody cares, right? A poor person is like a dead person. מהו הטעם? What's the reason? ומשום שאותו מקום גרם לו. How come he became poor? Because he connected to that place of poverty. What is that place? כי במקום מיתה הוא מצוי, because he attached death. What is death? We spoke about it last week. When he said that God told Adam, when you eat from the tree of knowledge, you will die on that day. How old was Adam when he died? Read the Torah. Genesis 930. What? I would eat from the tree of knowledge too. Chas v'shalom, God forbid. Who doesn't want, and he lived young till 930. Not that he was old, 60, and then he stayed very old till 930. This is like terrible punishment. Right? No. He had children when he was 300, 400, whatever. It's like, the guy was really like young till the end. So where is the, you know, where's the punishment? Says the Zohar, the moment he ate from the tree of knowledge, he started to die. And we explained, every time we stop being resembling to the Creator, that's death. So every time we get scared, every time is because lack of faith. What is faith? Connection to God. What is scare? Disconnection from God. Lack of faith. Lack of connection. Every time we get upset, every time we get upset by someone, by ourselves, every time we get angry, it's all because we get disconnected from light, from life. We die a little bit more. And this death is accumulative. And you see how people accumulate death in their minds, in their belief systems, in their bodies. If you can reverse that, and sometimes, you know, people can go through healing. And that means you take a person and he goes through a remake. He finds a loving community that trusts him and believes in him and loves him. And they support him to become loving and caring, and they support him in his journey, the tough journey to become altruistic and loving and trusting, because that's a way to connect to God. Not because people are going to be nice if you're going to do that. No, I'm going to do it to people unconditionally. I'm going to do it because that's a way, hard way, the hardest way. So when you have this support, and suddenly you realize that when you fall, people come and lift you up. When you fall, God lifts you up. Just when you have that, you know what happens? People start to heal from all kinds of chronic diseases. This is known. Love, happiness, change of belief system. This is the biggest, most powerful, only real healer. How many people, I met this person many years ago in Canada. He was wise, he was smart, he learned a lot. He was a shrewd business person, 70 years old, he's so rich, working like crazy 7 days a week, and he has a heart attack. He's in the hospital, terrible pains. And he's wise enough to know my lifestyle brought me to that. And he made a vow. From now on, I'm taking the spiritual road, and no one is worth me getting angry. Very strong-willed person. He came out, he said, of 7 days a week, 3 days a week he works. If a customer comes to the shop and gives him a bad time, he says, you know what? These are the addresses of my competitors. I'm not selling you anything. Go to them. I don't want your business. It doesn't worth it. I don't need your money. Why? I want to love, to be happy, and I don't enjoy doing business with you. Bye. Don't come back. Shalom velo litov. He bought a house next to the lake. He bought an amazing system for music, to listen to good music. He started to study Kabbalah. He started to do all kinds of things to make him happy. A year later, he called me, says, like, a weird thing. I went to a, you know, checkup. And a nurse comes to me, and she says, this is very weird. The guy was taking insulin. He was diabetic for 40 years. And the nurse says, you don't need to take insulin anymore. 70 years old. Why? You change your belief system. Your body starts to live. This is what we're talking about. So when he says, death is a state of mind. This is a state of mind. And that's why a person, when he's poor, it's a state of mind. ואותו שמרחם עליו, the one who has mercy to the poor, הוא נותן לו צדקה, and he gives him charity. וגורם שצחיים שנקרא צדקה שורה לצדת האושילנה דמבת, and he calls the tree of knowledge the tree of death. Because it's good and evil, good and evil. Finally, you can't fight anymore. You stay in death. You can't get up anymore. But if you have a spiritual training and faith, you never give up. It's not an option. You have the trust that everything is good. And if end is well, all is well. And if it's not well, it's not the end. Very simple. So get up and try all over again. And that's what it says in Tzedakah Tatzil Mimavit. It says in Proverbs, charity will save from death. ונצמא כמו שאדם עושה למטה שמחיה תעני שנקרא מת. So the same way a person does in this physical realm, and he raises the dead person from the dead, when he gives hope to the poor. So you know what it says. Instead of giving a fish every day, teach him how to fish. So that's why the Maimonides is saying the highest level of charity is to teach him how to fish. Okay? More than just giving him fish. But let's say you give him love, you give him hope, you give him, yes, you can. This is the highest level of charity. You took him from being dead to being alive. כן, הוא עושה למעלה. The same way you do it on a physical realm, you do it also in the spiritual realm. When? When this is your consciousness. So when you just give charity to the poor because you have some compassion, that's a good deed. When you do it with a consciousness that by saving that poor person, I'm changing the whole world. Because that poor person and me, we are part of a bigger picture. Right now there's more light in the world. Right now, the tree of life overpowers the tree of death. Because the interaction between me and the poor person created more life in this world, in the upper world. There's more strength, and you know what? Somebody in another continent, because I just change the balance, mishpatim, change the balance to the good, that will be enough to push that person to say, yes, I can. It's not an option to fail. I'm going to try all over again because we just made the world a little bit more positive. So that's the difference between a good deed and a mitzvah. A mitzvah is when you team together, let's avet, the upper world and the lower, when you understand that every action has a connection to the spiritual realm. Every action like this pulls in from the upper world the light that we are looking for. This light is the only remedy. המאור שבה מחזירו למוטב. This light is the only remedy that can little by little, it's like another injection, that little by little will heal each one of us from our disease. Our disease is death. What is death? Selfishness. Because that's the opposite of life, which is the light of life. So this is exactly, so when it says, ועשיתם אותם, ואת מצוות תשמרו, לעשות אותם. In verse 3, chapter 26, ועשיתם אותם. What do I mean? You do what? So you do the אנפין המלכות, you connect the tree of life and the tree of knowledge, and you make them one. You connect the physical realm and the spiritual realm, and there is more justice and balance on this plane. You know, the 20th century saw the most horrible human activity ever in the name of improving humanity. All of these ideologies, they said, let's kill the bad guys and the world will blossom. How many people the Nazis killed in that name? How many people the communist Soviet Union killed in that name? How many people China communism killed by that name? How many people in Cambodia and North Korea till today in that ideology? And what was the result? Massive killing. Misery that cannot be even imagined by a normal human being so sick. Why? Because when you think that the only way to balance the world is get rid of whoever you define as the bad guys, you transgress the laws of the universe and the punishment is severe. Now, the only way to remove evil is not to remove the evil people, is to bring in light. And bringing in light means, A, there are certain rules and boundaries that you cannot transgress. Why? Not because we don't like you or something, because you don't do that, it's not good for you. And humanity is still looking for the boundaries. Now it's like, we went to this extreme, and now to total tyranny and dictatorship and controlling other people's minds. We know what's good for you. Nobody will tell me what to do, I'll do whatever I feel like. That will make you also miserable. That will make you like, now you create your all horror movies and you see people creating so much mess in their lives following that religion of narcissism. Nobody can disturb me. I could do whatever I want. No, it doesn't work. There are some rules the Torah is talking about. It's not that the Torah doesn't like thieves. No, it likes the thieves as the honest people. But you have to heal them, not kill them. And all the other stuff, it's about what's good for us, because this is how this universe is wired. Nothing to do with, you know, discrimination or what. Everybody has to find his own place. Everybody is different. And everybody has his own stuff to overcome, which is deep inside the desire to receive for the self alone. So when we do that, we can remove ourselves from all the curses, because what the Torah is saying, with all due respect, when you don't listen to that, we don't understand these rules are set. That's how the universe is structured for one purpose. So we can earn divinity. We all supposed to earn divinity. These are the rules together. This is the hard work we have to make to transform our own evil. If we don't recognize these rules, and we also kind of idolize our selfishness, you know, I'm so proud that I'm doing whatever I feel like and I care for no one and for nothing. You know, people are proud for that. Are you so stupid or something? But you don't understand. What can you do? And then you don't understand there's a cause and effect. Because of that behavior, your life looks so miserable and so painful. And the only way to heal the pain. Somebody wrote a book that's a scientific book. It's a medical researcher. The healing power of good, doing good. When you do good for others, it heals you. Wow. A lot of people know that. A lot of people start to realize that. Too many people still don't know that. We're still on the road. But when we come back, you want to reach the source of not just healing everything. You have to connect to that upper world place, which means it's called the Keter, the highest Keter, the seed. What is the seed of the creation? The love of the Creator to His creatures. The name of 12 letters, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the Tetragrammaton, 3 times. It's a very, very high meditation to connect to that place. When you connect to that place and you really reach to that place, that everything is good. Everything is good. You don't complain. You're not bitter. You know, everything is good, even if it looks not so good. Even if it is by people that are convinced they're doing evil to me purposely. How does Joseph says to his brothers? After the funeral of their father, they come to him and says, Dad said you should forgive us. And Joseph says, you're kidding? You thought evil, but God thought it good. If you didn't sell me to be a slave, we would be starving right now, all of us, in Canaan. You sold me to be a slave? I'm the king of Egypt. We're sitting right now on the biggest storage of food on the planet. Thanks to you guys. I really thank you. Do you think I hate you for doing us such a favor? Are you kidding, Joseph? He was smart enough to know that hating them and taking revenge will take away from his greatness. That's why he's Joseph, the righteous. Who won? He won. Just because he chose resembling God and being divine. So you can be right, but you're not the light. And you're not divine. And you'll be miserable. You'll be dead right. That's not a good choice. This is what this parasha is about. How all bliss is coming from that place. Why Yud-Kei Vav-Kei 3 times? Right, left, and center. This is what healing is about. Thank you so much. And have a great week.